Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends Variety Hour, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios on the corner of Trash View and Nata Vista. Please put on your 3D glasses now. We alter your locus ceruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. It keeps your brain at a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. And it's working. I can feel it. Can you feel it, John and Jeremy?
It's kicking in.
I feel something, but that just might be the buzzing in my head. I'm not sure.
Something's and as always, buzzing. As always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. This allows reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. To learn more, go to BIPCOT.org. All right. And we're back. This is the Freedom Fiends. I haven't been on in a week. And as usual, I'm joined by Jeremy and John. So how in the happy Halloween are you guys?
I've been better
than Jeremy, I think.
Yeah. Yes. Well, yeah. That's saying a lot, you know, when the guy with cancer is like, oh, I'm doing better than Jeremy. You know, it makes me feel better. I'm just over. I'm getting better. I'm not as much of a, not as much of a big baby as I used to be when I'm sick. But yeah, I've been sick for the past couple of days. It smacked me upside the head on Friday, and I've slowly been getting better. But you know, it's like the tail end of one of those like combination head cold, chest cold things where you feel everything rattling around when you breathe. So, I've just been taking
mingling with them sheep in the public, man.
I know. You know, as usual, I'll just blame my kids. I'm sure they're the ones who got me sick.
It's usually them. They are the carriers.
Yeah, but yeah, it's all right. I'm getting better. And as I was telling you guys before we started the show, I spent most of the day on my couch watching the Star Wars Clone Wars animated series, which is actually really good. And I'm very disappointed in myself for not have watched it until now, since it started way back in 2008. But that kept my mind off things for the day. So that was nice.
Yeah, there were a lot of things to keep your mind off of, too.
Yeah, it's it's been another one of those crazy days, right? Stories popping up all over the place. One big story, I guess, dominating the headlines. Unfortunately,
and nobody reporting anything that makes any sense about it, as usual.
Oh, of course, yeah. So, and of course, we're talking about the shooting in Texas in the church. I guess it was early this morning, somewhere around 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, somewhere around there today, and. Yeah, I mean, it's horrible. I think the last report I saw there was 26 dead, I think, and a whole bunch of other people wounded. And, of course, the left is immediately out there screaming for gun control. The right's out there screaming that this was Antifa. Although,
exactly. A lot of ISIS or whatever.
Yeah, a lot of my friends included in this, although I haven't been able to find any corroboration that this guy actually was from Antifa. I saw multiple people sharing something with a picture of him next to a picture of the Antifa flag. And then I saw a whole slew of other people going, yeah, that's completely Photoshopped. It wasn't there on his page at all.
What I saw was just literally, obviously, a picture of him next to obviously a picture of the Antifa flag. So it was like they just put the two pictures together. They didn't even really like put a lot of effort into the Photoshopping.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and I mean, whether he was or not, to me, honestly, it doesn't matter. Because, you know, it's what he did is horrible. He went and shot innocent people, you know, and again, whatever his motives were, I really don't care. He went and shot innocent people. He's a bad dude for that, you know. But of course,
yeah,
sorry.
I think that a lot of this with these groups, either on the right or the left, with them, with these events, with them automatically reaching for the victim card I think it's one of these things where it then gives them the justification to go on the offensive, and they want that. And that's why you see both of these sides constantly playing the victim, because it gives them an excuse to be the jerks that they are.
I think you're right about that. I would definitely agree. It seems that way, at least, you know. And it's and of course, the one thing that I've seen mentioned in multiple stories, but doesn't seem to be getting talked a lot about outside of what I can tell libertarian and anarchist circles, was not whether this guy was Antifa or not, but the fact that this guy is former military. He was in the, you know, he got, it wasn't a dishonorable discharge. It was a bad conduct discharge from the Air Force.
Didn't he assault his family or something?
Yeah,
like that?
His wife and his child, or I guess his former wife and his child.
I'm surprised they kick you out of the military for that.
Well, yeah, it does seem, well, you know, they've gotten a little stricter with that stuff over the years. That used to be commonplace. But that's the one thing that I think should be talked about more. And it's not just because I have an axe to grind with the military. You know, like I said, whether this guy is part of one radical ideology group or another, I would think that the fact that on some level he was trained to be a paid killer for the military
right. Yeah, and
might have something,
and they totally messed his head up.
Yeah, and you know, to the and he was so bad that they had to kick him out because he went nuts on his family. You know, I think that plays a much bigger role in this than whether he was part of Antifa or part of the alt-right or part of whatever group, you know. Like, I don't know, what about you guys? Like, that seems to stick out to me more.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there's like a big trend with this too. I would say, and I can say this with some kind of certainty, that a majority of the time that these kind of events happen, it's former military. I remember in Dallas, that guy that shot the cops last year in that parking garage, and they had to send the drone in there.
Oh, the one they bombed him to death? Yeah.
That guy was former military. The guy in Vegas worked for Lockheed Martin. God knows what he was involved with. That isn't exactly, you know, a combat role, but a lot of these guys that end up having the training to carry these out, they were in the military, and they were desensitized to death through the military. So, you know, they experience all this death, and they don't value human life in the way that they should or the way that they used to, I don't think.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. It certainly seems to point in that direction, at least with all of these. Because yeah, you're right. There's a bunch of these that are that seem to be linked to somehow linked to the military. And you know, just from my own anecdotal experiences of friends and family members that I've known over the years that have been in there, it's, you know, I've seen the changes in them, and not always necessarily in a positive way. You know, like when they come out, just like how like almost detached they are from a lot of things. Especially if they've seen any combat.
I had two friends I grew up with that like lived on my street, and they, you know, the Army recruiters came into our high school and they signed these two guys up like a month before 9/11, or like probably the school year before 9/11, because that happened in September. And they both ended up going to Iraq and seeing combat, and they both came back messed up in totally different ways. Like the one guy, he came back and he was still really nice and everything, but like he couldn't hold down a job. He was a really bad alcoholic and everything. And then the other guy came home and he was like, he had all of his like stuff together, like as far as like his, you know, financial stuff. He wasn't homeless, living, you know, any of those situations. But he was just a total jerk, and he wasn't nice to anybody, and he just had very toxic relationships. So, you know, I'm not saying that's everybody. I have a lot of friends who are activists and who are pushed to a life of activism because of what they saw. But, you know, it really does mess with people's heads. Yeah, I actually have a lot of friends too who are veterans, and some of them, they come back and they have problems with, you know, alcohol and dependency on other substances, and a lot of them actually have PTSD to this day. But some of them who've done like multiple tours, you know, over there in the Middle East, they have pretty much gotten used to that kind of life, and then they come back and they have trouble integrating in a normal civilian life. And some of them have even said that they want to go back over there because, you know, quote unquote, killing people is what they know how to do. You know, it's what they're used to now. And it's hard to integrate into society when you get used to that kind of life. It's kind of like people who've spent a lot of time in prison and then they come back, they end up going back into prison because it's what they know. So it's really unfortunate.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've heard that from both people who have been to war and to prison, that they just, you know, they can't cope with normal life.
Yeah, my one of my co-hosts on my other podcast, The Seeds of Liberty, Andre, he's talked about that openly on our show, about that when he came, you know, coming back, it's like even now he has a hard time turning off that. It's not like he openly desires to like kill people randomly, but there's just this thing that was beaten into him, you know, while he was there, that, you know, these people are our enemy, and, you know, if you see them, kill them, type of thing. And it's just like it's so easy for him to get revved up. And he's actually a relatively mild mannered guy when you speak to him and stuff, but he's,
well, that's how he's proved himself to be valuable in society and stuff like that. So I'm sure that, like, you kind of, even subconsciously, like, you feel that drive to be seen as valuable to other people in the world. And you know what I mean?
Yeah. And, you know, with this guy in particular, I mean, again, whether his stint in the Air Force had anything to do with this, whether he had any ideologies, you know, whatever. I mean, it seems, at least what's come out so far, and again, it's you know, I try to wait as long as I can before making definitive statements on a lot of this stuff, because the new, you know, the reports change constantly and you never know what the actual facts are, usually for at least a couple of days.
But nothing happened. It was Santa Claus.
Yeah, but by all accounts so far, it seems like this guy was unstable, you know, for quite a while now. And if he got kicked out of the Air Force, he was confined. It didn't say he was in prison, but it referred to him being confined in some manner for like 12 months after the discharge. So I don't know if that was a house arrest thing or what, but so like that happens, you know, obviously his wife doesn't want to be with him. And his kids probably nowhere near him. So what has he got to lose? But we'll talk about more of this when we get back for the break. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Meow. Well.
So we're back.
It was lizards.
The last segment, we were talking about the shooting in Texas today, and right before the break, we were kind of getting to what, you know, could possibly be the motive. And I was saying that, you know, it, regardless of what this, you know, what groups this guy belonged to, or, you know, what he actually believed, or, you know, we're never probably going to know what his actual motive is, because, well, he's dead. But you know, it seems a lot more likely, if we're going to play the Occam's razor route here, that, you know, it was it had more to do with the fact that the guy obviously was unstable to begin with based on his history, and he seemingly did not have much going for him if he had already been kicked out of the Air Force, spent 12 months locked up in some capacity, and lost his family because, well, he got caught beating on them. So, you know, not that I'm upset that he lost his family. Excuse me, I just kicked my mic. That's horrible audio. You know, with all that type of stuff, I think that seems more likely to a scenario for somebody having, like, feeling they have nothing to lose and just wanting to go take it out on somebody. You know, not condoning it, obviously, and you know, what he did, but that seems more likely than, you know, some Antifa guy that had to go shoot up a church. Because those, you know, you're talking about some of the comments you see on this stuff. You know, it gets insane from, like, every direction, depending on what their theory is and what they're promoting, like what they say about this guy. But some of the Christian and Catholic people I saw writing about this, we're just going insane. Like, oh, it's like, oh, he's an atheist. He hated God, so that's why he did it. It's like, dude, do you actually know atheists? You know, I've long considered myself an atheist. I've never once thought about shooting up a church or anybody who goes to church or, yeah, like these insane thoughts that go through people's head, and then they put them out there in the public sphere. It's kind of scary. Almost as scary as this guy himself, you know, but just the people run with this stuff, and it's like, you know, we were talking during the break that it's, you know, these people, they jump on these, you know, what they believe their personal theory of the story is, usually right after it happened, before there's any time to have any actual evidence put forward. And people are just off and running. And then when it's proven wrong, like you were saying, Shane, the Muslim thing came up a lot with people right away. Oh, it's got to be a Muslim.
When, yeah, that was for the first couple hours before, yeah, they revealed the actual identity.
Yeah, and then when it's proven not to be, there's not a word of apology from any of these people. Oh, we were wrong. They just move on. They just move the goalpost to a different. Now they have something to say about this, about the person that the suspect they now have in front of them, and they just pick something, yeah, else.
Or they just move on to the topic that their side can be outraged about. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't do, you know, it doesn't do anything to help the situation. I think overall it just makes things a lot worse, you know.
Yeah, and assuming that these situations are as they say they are, you know what I mean, and it isn't like, you know, crazy reptiles or anything. All of these stories recently, they do have this tie-in that you discussed of just these helpless people who are, you know, even though the Las Vegas guy was rich, apparently he was, you know, starting to lose all his money and clout in the casinos, feeling helpless, feeling worthless. Same thing with this guy, and same thing with the kid who ran over all the people in Charlottesville. Like, these are just, you know, that's the times and the place that we're living in right now. People are feeling worthless and hopeless, and I don't think that they care if they live or die. And I think that's why we're seeing the problem with all the overdoses and things like this.
Yeah. Another interesting thing was early on, they said that I saw multiple reports of this, that he was actually confronted by an armed resident, and that's why he may have received the, you know, the fatal shot from, that we're talking about the killer. He was supposedly shot by a resident before he fled, and they found him dead in his car, but then later reports indicated that it may have been the cops, which I kind of doubt that.
Well, yeah, we actually heard that news report just right before the show started, when we were listening to the news, and that was the first time I had heard mention of the cops at all.
The way it was worded was, it may have not been the cops or something like that. It was like, it wasn't a double negative, but it was one of those things where it was like, it sounded intentionally deceptive the way the Associated yeah, Press worded that.
It did, but, you know, like, well, either way, like I said, that was the first mention I had heard of them all day, you know, so it was just, because just like you, Shane, most of the reports I saw said something about the resident with a gun, that it was either somebody came out of their house with a gun or somebody met him outside the church and tried to take his gun. And in either case, that seemed like the most likely scenario for how he ended up being shot. And then he tried to limp to his car, but apparently didn't make it.
Yeah, I saw a picture of some dude with a cowboy hat and neck tattoos that apparently was the hero or whatever.
When the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
And we're back. A trip to the market interrupted us. We were not prepared for it. We were so busy talking about this whole thing. I don't even remember exactly where we left off, John, but
I was just yelling about the guy that, allegedly saved the day there in the chair.
Oh, that's right.
Prevented the situation from being worse than it was.
The good guy with a gun who stopped the bad guy with a gun, allegedly.
Yeah. and if that does turn out to be true, at the very least, I think that's, because it, unfortunately, those stories tend to not get reported very often. Somehow those miss the major news cycle when people actually do stop, when a quote unquote civilian is the one who actually stops them. It's only in these, high profile situations to begin with that, if that story comes out, it's like, oh yeah, we have to mention this now. We can't really avoid this, but, cause if that does turn out to be true, the guy was able to kill, 26 people, injure, I think, at least close to 20 more, and the cops still hadn't arrived. So how much more damage could he have done if this person didn't do what they did, And that's always it's a talking point that gets trotted out by gun, people who are pro-gun, which I obviously am. But I've used that saying too, the good guy, only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun, because while it's usually true, but still, despite that, the people who are demanding gun control, of course, will still find a way to overlook that, right? Somehow, mm-hmm. some way, that won't be an important factor to them, which is just...
And that's one of the things that I saw, even before they released the identity of the shooter, we already had, congressmen and senators calling for more laws regarding guns.
Well, yeah, because they do it every time. I kind of always knew that in the back of my mind, but I think for me, when it really struck home with me was what happened during Sandy Hook, when... just as should be expected at this point, the normal crowd trotted out right away, almost immediately, with calls for it before this full story was in, before anybody really knew what had happened. But it was that time when not only did they trot themselves out there like they always do, but it was, I remember it was Dianne Feinstein specifically, when I heard her speak about the fact that not only was she already out there on the forefront demanding gun control, she admitted quite proudly that she had had that particular legislation lying in her desk for a couple of years now, basically just waiting for the time to use it.
Exactly.
Which is how these people think. So, like I said, I had known that in the back of my mind, I guess, before that, but that's when it really struck home to me. So now, whenever I hear these people going out and doing, doing stuff like this, that's my immediate thought. It's like, oh, one of these horrible, horrible individuals has something sitting in their desk already, and they're just dying to put it out there.
Yeah, and it speaks to the mentality of politicians, too, because, bad things happen in life, that is,
random acts of violence, they occur. There's really not much that you can do to prevent a random act of violence. Systematic violence, that's different. But, you know, with these random acts of violence, you don't always have to react to them and do something. And politicians, they have us set up in this mentality where anytime anything happens that's sad, something must be done, you know, and that always comes in the form of something handed down by a politician, whether it be a law or whatever, you know, and life shouldn't be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. I mean, sure, we should try to better things, but, you know, you're not going to take away random acts of violence.
No, unfortunately, you're not. You know, I've said it many a time. Short of, you know, short of full scale eugenics, bad actors are always going to exist. You know, I don't like to make a lot of absolute statements, but I feel pretty confident about that one. That, you know, because if you just span the time of man and take a look and dig into history, yeah, the bad guys have always been there. They're still there now. Sadly, you know, in more recent times like ours, we usually give the bad guys positions of power, which
and
makes
that's
things...
what exactly that's what yeah, makes it worse, and that's exactly what we should focus on trying to fix, not the random lightning striking that we're never going to be able to predict anyway.
Yeah, but we can't really prevent these sort of incidents from happening, but more people could be prepared for them rather than just calling the cops and waiting.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Although, you know, That is one thing that does seem odd to me, that, you know, this occurred in Texas, right? Why wasn't anybody in the church armed?
Is taking your gun to church a thing? I don't go to church or carry guns around, so I'm not really too sure.
I believe in Texas, it's probably pretty common.
That's what I would have thought. And then I read a bunch, you know, I was trying to read as much as I could about this earlier, and you know, like I said, trying to get as many different viewpoints as possible, because that's usually the best chance you have of piecing together an actual story, is looking all over the place and then just pulling little details from here and there and going, okay, they got this one part right and the rest of it is complete BS. These guys over here got this one part right and the rest of it's complete BS. So you just got to piece it together. But yeah, it's, I don't know. The bad people are going to exist. And, you know, it's interesting too, because, of course, I mean, they're so predictable. I mean, not only with the politicians trotting these, whatchamacallit, you know, the pleas right away. Oh, we have to do something. We have to do something. Because, well, you know, what's that line? You know, never let a good crisis go to waste. You know, so that is how they think. But it is interesting, because all of this, you know, these acts of random acts of violence have been occurring, and the left is the one who's always out there screaming right away, we got to do something, we got to do something. But even when it was a bunch of Republican Congress critters getting shot at, they still didn't go out and go, oh, we have to have gun laws, we have to improve things. It's like, do you guys really not see that even the guy who got shot, what was it, Scalise was the Congress member that got shot back in a couple months back during the baseball practice in D.C. Even he didn't come out and say, you know, we have to do this. So it's clearly just strictly agenda, has absolutely nothing to do with safety or a concern for the human race in any capacity. It's clearly just a very delineated agenda. And it'd be one thing if it was just these horrible individuals that call themselves politicians that acted like this and said these things. But there's so many people out there that just nod their head and go, oh, yes, of course, without even thinking, just we have to do something. Because it's permeated the culture. It's just so many people's mindset. Something must be done. And who's going to do it? Well, not me. That's what government's there for, right? They have to do something. So
yeah, exactly. And I guess people have this idea that prohibition works. They still have this idea after hundreds of years of various things being illegal, various inanimate objects being illegal, and just totally failing every time. And its stated goals, anyway, not its true goals, I believe, prohibition. But that's, you know.
Yeah. So, you know, and like I said, it will, I mean, in regards to this specific incident, I mean, I do find it weird that people weren't armed, but that's usually how these things also, you know, that's one of the other factors that usually seems to line up with all of these events. You know, not only the fact that the individual themselves is usually you usually find out later that they were just definitely, you know, disturbed in some way. But they almost always take place in situations where people aren't armed. So, I mean, I don't know, maybe this, because this guy was local, you know, he apparently was from that area. So maybe he was aware that people did not go to this particular church armed, you know?
Yeah, I think that there's two reasons that they hit the... obviously, they hit places where they're going to face least resistance, one. And I think that, you know, hitting the most, like, helpless, you know, kind of places, it really... it has an extreme impact on people. Or hitting places that, you know, people are going to go in their everyday lives, it definitely has a major impact on people. And I think that's why schools and hospitals and places like that are targeted for terror attacks a lot, because they know that psychological effect that it will have on people.
Yeah, and that could be why he wasn't confronted until he actually came outside of the building and then was confronted by a quote-unquote resident who, we don't know if he was a bystander or lived across the street or what, but yeah, so it's possible that they may not have been armed inside the church. And I'm curious whether or not the resident himself was armed or whether he disarmed the perpetrator.
You know, I will say, like, when you said that, I... just being in a place where you feel safe and having something crazy like that go down, I can imagine people not, like, thinking on their feet as much as they would otherwise. You know what I'm saying?
True. Oh, sure. You know, panic sets in pretty quick in those situations. And unless you're somebody who's trained, you know, who has trained not only just to shoot, but to shoot under pressure like that. Yeah, even if you were armed, there is a chance that you wouldn't be able to react quickly. And, you know, some of the other stuff I read by people who, like, there was one account I saw multiple times by this one, I think it was like a 16-year-old kid, who apparently usually goes to that church at that time with his girlfriend and just ended up not going that day. And, you know, he was talking about the fact that the place, you know, it would essentially be, you know, fish in a barrel once that guy walked in,
because
there was only one big entrance, and the other exits were like tiny little ones in the corners type of things that would be hard for people to rush out of. So, you know, if, you know, anybody who was in there, you know, if they were, obviously they're not prepared for that. They're sitting in a church service. Why, you know, you're not expecting somebody to show up with a gun at least not one to start shooting people with. So, you know, you could, you know, even if they were, you're right, John, I think it's possible that people wouldn't have been able to react that quickly, caught that off guard. So, but we're headed off to the market. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
And we're back. And in the last segment of this hour, we're going to switch gears a little bit after we spent most of the hour talking about the events today in Texas and the church shooting. But something else that John brought to my attention a couple hours ago, apparently our friend from MasterCard, the CEO of MasterCard, who we spoke about on last week's show, who came out there and was calling any cryptocurrency that's not backed by a central bank essentially junk. And he was, you know, specifically ripping Bitcoin. But it turns out he and, well, a whole bunch of other people have got themselves in a bunch of trouble, it appears, in Saudi Arabia, because apparently, what's his name? I mean, he's one of the Saudi princes or whatever, Waleed something or other. Was that guy's name, right? Was the CEO of
MasterCard? There's a whole bunch of Saudi princes who are basically got rounded up in some kind of a corruption probe or something like that.
Yeah, I think there was like more than 10 of them, including the guy. I can't even say it. Waleed. Yeah, there we go. Waleed bin Talib, the guy who they call the Arabian Warren Buffett. He's the guy who came out there and made those ridiculous statements. But yeah, him and a bunch of other people all got busted by the. I guess it's the new king. It's the Prince Mohammed, the guy who is tapped to be the next king. He's the next in line for the throne, rather. You know, it's like you said, it seems that John was saying to us earlier, it seems to be like a consolidation of power thing where they, the Saudis are obviously just like, just like they would do in the White House, throw out all the people that you don't want when you get in there and fill it with all your people. But it's just interesting that, he got slammed in this probe after he was out there complaining about Bitcoin. So I thought that was funny. But John, you said that one of the other ones got killed, right? There was just like this whole big thing over like a course of a day or two out there, right?
Yeah. So it was in the past 48 hours, all those arrests happened. It might have even been as soon as yesterday. And then today, a helicopter crashed with at least one Saudi prince on it, and he's dead now. So there's something going on over there with some kind of power struggle, maybe even between multiple princes fighting over the throne. I'm not exactly sure, but it definitely is really crazy.
Sounds almost like a Saudi Game of Thrones going on over there.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. And it's couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of people.
Oh my god! Indeed.
If they weren't causing so much damage around the world, with the rest of their policies, that the U.S. government completely complicit in, of course, like the whole war in Yemen that the mainstream news doesn't want to talk about, where they are just the U.S. and Saudi forces are just beating the ever-loving heck out of these poor people down there, with no end in sight, it appears. And if it wasn't for the fact that I listened to the Scott Horton show, I'd probably know nothing about this because it doesn't get talked about in a lot of other places. But thankfully Scott Horton and the rest of the guys over at the Libertarian Institute and antiwar.com cover a lot of this stuff. But yeah, it's because a lot of people just think of the Saudis, just a bunch of rich sheiks over there. They have some oil. It's like, no, they control a lot, including, to a lot of extents, parts of the U.S. government with their with how they do things, with their stranglehold on the whole oil thing over there.
And this guy is essentially running MasterCard, and I read an article today saying that there are all these other banking institutions and credit cards that are going to be affected by these arrests because these are like high-level CEOs or like proprietary owners of these companies.
Well, yeah, because the Waleed or whatever however you say his name, he was tied in with Citigroup, Apple, Twitter, and Lyft. So that's some big money in a lot of those companies, and because they're talking about possibly his all of his assets might get seized or frozen at least, and what happens then, and the whole power structure on Wall Street could change because of this. So yeah, this could have pretty wide ranging effects here at home. So. This is one of those stories that, like I said, I laughed when I saw it was him because I was like, ha ha, after he was making those statements about Bitcoin. But then when you think about it, it's like, oh, this could be bad for us. No bueno. But anyway, we're going to head off to the break and we'll be back for the second hour.
Mm-hmm. Making the world a better place with Great Liberty Media is not easy, but it is effective. Making the world a better place with Great Liberty Media doesn't even pay very much at all. Sometimes we even have to pay out of our own pockets. But we do it because we have to. For you. And for the children. Here at the Freedom Fiends, we've been producing amazing and effective Liberty Media every day since 2011. Radio shows, podcasts, movies, music, cryptocurrencies, and yes, even memes. The Freedom Fiends also run the world's only Liberty Media Teaching Hospital and the world's only voluntarist media university. Our hands-on classes educate and shape hundreds of the great Liberty speakers of today and tomorrow, and they, in turn, will teach and inspire others. Heck, even the ones who got fired or quit in a huff still hold useful skills and equipment to hone their own Liberty Media and teach others. Freedom Fiends Media and our students' media is a rising groundswell to help create happy Liberty lives around the world and maybe even on to Alpha Centauri. Kitty cats and puppies like living in Liberty homes more than in statist homes. So please donate to the Freedom Fiends, if only for the kitties. Hashtag please donate Freedom Fiends, think of the kitties.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. As always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. This allows reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. To learn more, go to BIPCOT.org. All right, and we're back for the second hour. I'm Shane, and I'm joined once again by John and Jeremy.
Worms.
Oh, yeah. I'm still here. I'm hanging in.
Yeah. All right. So I guess shifting gears here, we have another story, and this comes from the Daily News, Bowling Green Daily News, which is out of Kentucky. And this is about Rand Paul. It says, Paul has rib fractures, lung contusions after apparent assault. And it starts off, it says, U.S. Senator Rand Paul has 5 rib fractures and lung contusions as a result of an apparent assault Friday by a neighbor at Paul's home in Bowling Green, a spokesman for Kentucky's junior senator said Sunday. Senior advisor Doug Stafford said Paul's injuries caused pain that could persist for weeks, perhaps even months, but that the Republican plans to return to the U.S. Senate soon. Says he has 5 rib fractures, including 3 displaced fractures. This type of injury is caused by high velocity, severe force. It is not clear exactly how soon he will return to work, as the pain is considerable, as is the difficulty in getting around, including flying.
The dude beat him with a club or something?
That's what I wondered at first, because when I first heard about, you know, 5 cracked ribs and stuff, I thought, well, I've broken a rib and I've displaced a rib before, but those were in, you know, vehicle accidents and things like that. So it takes a substantial force. Well, but like Jeremy said during the break, go ahead.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's at least what's being reported is that the guy literally came up behind Rand and tackled him. So if he was out there, you know, if Rand's out on his property and doesn't see this guy coming and he charges him from behind, you hit somebody from behind like that, it almost, I mean, I don't have a video of it, but I'm imagining something like a football-esque tackle. You hit somebody from behind like that and they're not prepared for it in any way. Yeah, you could easily, especially somebody, you know, who's getting a little bit older like Rand is now, you know, bones are a little bit weaker at that age. It becomes easier for things to break and crack and stuff like that. So, you could very easily damage that many ribs by being tackled from behind as it appears that he was. So, you know, with this guy just hitting him from behind and landing on top of him, I think that seems to be what happened, but... the whole thing is insane because number one, not only is it Rand Paul, so it's not every day that a U.S. senator gets attacked, so that makes it a little bit of an odd story to begin with. But number two, Rand lives in a really, really, really nice gated community. And number three, this wasn't just some crazy stalker or some wacko that happened to get on the grounds. This was one of his neighbors who's like almost 60 years old, I think. It was like 59. Yeah, he's almost, he's 59 years old. He is also a doctor, just like Rand Paul. And I don't know
and
what
he's
type
some
of
inventor, too. He's got a patent out. So, I mean, this guy is definitely loaded.
Yeah, he's definitely somebody who could afford. From all evidence, at least so far, it does definitely seem like he could afford to live in this very nice gated community with Rand Paul,
and he's got a lot to lose too.
Yeah, so like, you know what I mean? I saw a lot of people trying to lump this story in with all the other stories, like the Vegas shooting and the shooting we were talking about in the first hour with at the Republican baseball game, whatever it was.
Was this a part of the anti-fa revolution?
Well, no, not necessarily the anti-fa, but it was everything's targeted against Republicans. That was that, like, they tried to lump all these in together. I'm like, you know, I mean, is it possible? I guess, but again, trying to use Occam's razor here, doesn't it just seem more likely that this guy Rand just peeved this guy off somehow, some way?
Their evidence was that he recently posted something on Facebook complaining about Republicans.
Well, yeah, and that goes back to what we were talking about in the first hour, where people have all these, you know, on either side, whatever camp it is, they have these preconceived notions. So as soon as these stories hit, whatever they are, it's automatically, well, it's got to be these folks, or it's got to be these folks, and this has to be their motivation. Or they'll dig and find that, you know, evidence like that and go, oh, here's the smoking gun. It's like, no, dude, you're doing the whole science thing backwards. You've come up with a theory in your head and now you're trying to find evidence to prove it. No, you're supposed to find the evidence first and then formulate a theory.
Well, that's how it's done nowadays in general.
Well, yeah, but so exactly, but that's what all these people do. So, you know, people jumping all over this. You know, I mean, as far as Congress critters and politicians go in general, I mean, Rand's all right, I guess, but it's still hard. You know, it sucks that this happened to him. I mean, if you're out there hanging out on your property and somebody just comes up and tackles you from behind, that's just not cool, man. I don't care what the ulterior motives here were necessarily, but it's just, you know. Just like with we were talking about the first hour with the shooting in the Texas church, you know, to me necessarily the motives aren't really important. It's just like, dude, you aggressed against somebody. It's really not cool, you know. But this one just got completely insane. It's like so many people are speculating on why this happened, and it's just like, I don't know, man. I got plenty of neighbors around here that I may have considered harming at some point. I mean, I never have, but, like, you know, they've done things that have ticked me off that I could totally see, you know, if they caught me on a really bad day.
So, you know, I really hope the full story comes out here. I really hope this isn't one of those things that just disappear and we never find out the punchline.
I think Jeremy's neighbors are more likely to harm him than the other way around.
At this point, yes, more definitely. Although plenty of them would much prefer just to sit behind, you know, sit in their houses and take pictures out their windows that I can find later on online. But anyway, that's a whole different story. That's where it is. Okay, so he does. I quickly glanced at the story again. I'm like, oh, it does tell what kind of doctor he was. That's why I laughed when I saw this earlier. Now I just remembered, because he's an anesthesiologist and a pain specialist, which is quite
a
ironic.
Drug dealer.
Well, it's quite ironic considering he inflicted pain on poor Rand.
Yeah.
That hoodlum, that thuggish drug dealer down the street went and attacked Rand Paul.
Yeah, but there's a lot missing from the story, especially the motive as to why he would have done this, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least this, I don't think this particular article, they were really speculating about it, which
some
was good,
branches fell on his lawn or something, perhaps.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It could have literally just been some neighborhood dispute that this guy, maybe he was drinking that day and he was a little ticked off, you know, whatever. So many different things could happen. But I think the really messed up thing about this is that what he's facing the charge he's facing is a fourth degree assault, which is a class A misdemeanor, which is the exact same thing I'm facing for trying to get somebody off my property. I find a little messed up.
Yeah.
You know, he's facing the same level of quote-unquote crime and the same amount of possible jail time that I am for two completely different incidents, which, of course, just goes to speak how screwed up the laws really are. You know, I really have much faith in the police and the court systems, but I think...
Well, that's why none of these Hollywood people that are getting accused of all sorts of atrocious things are even, like, not even getting arrested or anything. They're just losing their jobs, you know? I'm sure if, like, a whole bunch of women and little boys accused us of, you know, that kind of misconduct, you know, there would... People would be behind bars immediately. There would be no, you know, losing their job, going to rehab, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's a whole different story. But yeah, that is pretty crazy how it kind of works like that. It's horrible, actually. But yeah, that you're right. They we definitely wouldn't get treated the same way.
And just the legal system in general, that's how it is, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, like you said, Shane, I mean, or both of you said, I think, actually, I hope the story does come out, because this one, I'm a little more interested in finding the motive, just because it seems so odd that somebody, you know, some rich doctor in a gated community was angry enough that he felt the need to tackle Rand Paul on his own property.
Right. Yeah. Some of the comments from this article are a little funny, too. One guy commented, he says, "I don't understand, as a staunch supporter of the Second Amendment, why couldn't Rand Paul defend himself? Hope the NRA doesn't take away his A rating, wink, wink."
Oh, my God.
Yeah, again, why couldn't he defend himself? Maybe because he wasn't looking.
Right. I mean. Yeah, it says this happened, I guess, while he was mowing his lawn. So if the guy caught him by surprise, he wouldn't have heard him coming, and he probably attacked him from behind. So... Yeah, and if he jumped on the guy, like if he tackled him with all his weight, I could see that breaking the ribs right there without any further confrontation.
Yeah, he, you know, so it's definitely, that's definitely possible. But yeah, it's, like I said, that's what it seems like. It seems like he was completely caught off guard. So, you know, I mean, it doesn't speak very well for Rand's situational awareness. But if you actually was in the act of mowing his own lawn, although I thought I saw a picture of him on a riding lawnmower, that would be kind of tricky to be actually, well, that would actually definitely cause the injury if he managed to tackle him off the riding mower.
Yeah. But I just can't even... This is out of control.
Yeah, I mean that does seem a little more, I don't know, doesn't seem as plausible as him just, you know, but that would explain why he wouldn't be able to hear him. If you're sitting on a riding mower and, you know, going along mowing your grass, you're not exactly going to hear that type of stuff. But right. Yeah.
And how many people actually mow their lawn armed? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. Well, actually, that's not true. I tried to do that a few months ago. That ended up in a whole big bunch of problems. I was only armed with a knife, and I still got, you know, I was literally mowing. I was literally mowing my lawn armed, and that's when everything went really, really badly. So yeah, I can understand why some people wouldn't want to do it, but who knows, man? It's just, you know, like I said. Whatever, he's a politician, but Rand's, I guess, all right. So I hope he recovers, because that's just messed up, man. Trying to take care of your property. Crazy guy tackles you.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Biptunia, music for the drive to Alpha Centauri. Biptunia's influences are Gary Numan, Brian Eno, Pink Floyd, David Bowie, Led Zeppelin, Grateful Dead, Frank Zappa, Robert Fripp, Blondie, Kraftwerk, and Dead Kennedys. Biptunia styles are trip-hop, rock, pop, glam, industrial, ambient, jazz, and space. Plus, it's got cats and is covered by the BIPCOT NoGov license. You can download Biptunia's music free. Go to biptunia.com. That's BIPTUNIA. Bravo, India, Papa, Tango, Uniform, November, India, Alpha, BIPTUNIA.com.
We have another story that I pulled out just because it made me, just like the Saudi Prince one that made me laugh because of what the guy had said previously. This particular article made me laugh because it's speaking negatively of the owner of Tesla, Mr. Elon Musk, which always puts a smile on my face because I hate that guy. this particular article comes from Eric Peters Autos, which is one of my favorite websites, actually. If anybody who doesn't know about Eric Peters Autos, ericpetersautos.com. And I think it actually, if you do, there's a shortened version of that, but I don't remember what it is offhand anyway. He's a car guy who's actually who happens to be a libertarian. So he manages to inject a lot of libertarian ideas and economic stuff into his articles about cars. And you know, he's very serious about this too, because he's constantly driving all the new cars out there and stuff like that. And people seem to value his opinion highly, so he keeps getting called upon to do these things. But he was actually one of the first people I heard constantly trash Elon Musk. And we were talking about this earlier, Shane and I, and I had said that, my thing, I originally had a problem with Musk. You know, at first I thought it was great. It was like, oh, Tesla Motors and SpaceX. Oh, like you said, Shane, the free market, it worked. This is great. And then you find out that the amount of subsidies this guy receives to be able to have both of these companies up and running the way they are is, he wouldn't be able to without that, essentially. So we're all helping pay for the wonderful things that SpaceX and Tesla Right. Motors are doing. So that was the beginning of my issues with Elon Musk. And then when I learned about Eric Peters, and I started following his work, I realized that he wasn't a big fan of Musk either. And at first he was just talking about that type of stuff, the stuff with the subsidies and everything. And, I was like, oh, great, my bias is being confirmed, I'm happy. But then he started talking more and more about the Tesla products in particular. And I hadn't realized this. Like, I just assumed that, they put out these cars and they charge a lot of money for them, so they'd be, nice cars. Apparently, that's not really the case, as I learned from this article. Aside from the fact that Tesla is losing, they're getting subsidies up the wazoo, still losing tons and tons of money. What was it? 2015, according to this, they lost $889 million. Last year, they did a little bit better with only losing $675 million. But company's been losing money for a long time, and apparently the products they're putting out are not even that great. And in this particular article, there was a video attached to it, because Eric Peters, he admits the fact that he's normally hard on Musk, so he didn't want to just bash Musk himself, so he brought somebody else in, somebody who made their own YouTube video about the $80,000 Model S that they had just purchased. And this guy goes through all the problems that he had in the first just like couple of months of owning this car, and how many times he's had to bring it in for service. And like the first time he brought it in, there was like seven different things he needed help with, and they were only actually able to fix one of them, only able to slightly make three of them better, and the other four either just continued or they had to get other parts and stuff for. But it's like insane stuff when you're looking at like what's supposed to be this like $80,000 wonder car. Things like, really bad paint jobs with the swirls in the paint, the door trim that just doesn't line up at all, doors that squeak off the, when they brand people buying these brand new cars, the doors already squeak or there's already like rattles in them and stuff like that. It was just like all points to either just horrible craftsmanship or extremely horrible quality control.
know,
they're just rolling these things out of the assembly line, whatever, you know, they're building, we're just going, oh, it's good, whatever. And they ship it out. And, you know, they charge ridiculous amounts of money for these things. And I know in some places, people get further subsidized. Individuals end up getting subsidized by their neighbors, you know, just the same way they do with solar. I've heard of stories like this, just like they do with the solar panels. When, like here in New York, they're touting that they have the solar program. And they're like, oh, yeah, you can get this stuff for free. It's like, no, we're all paying for it. It's taxpayer money. Right. It's not free. You know, they kind of do the same thing here. Like people get tax credits for this stuff. It's like, or they get their own subsidies. So they don't have to pay as much for this car. But still, it's, you know, the sticker price is $80,000 and it's coming out with like these ridiculous factory defects. And this is apparently not like an isolated incident. Like, according to this guy, he ran into a bunch of people that were all saying the same things. So,
right.
But I hear the music, so we will have to continue this in the next segment. Worms.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
So we're back with the last segment. We were talking about Elon Musk and how much I hate him. The problems that Tesla is having, aside from the fact that they seem to be hemorrhaging money constantly, despite the subsidies. The welfare queen Mr. Musk gets, they seem to be putting out very substandard products, and not just for the price they're paying, because as Shane, as you pointed out, like some of the lines from this article are great, because Eric Peters goes into the fact that, you know, the these problems that the guy was complaining about, some of them, like the little squeaks and rattles and swirls of the paint, they may not seem like huge deals, and they wouldn't be if it was 1978, because back then things like that happened all the time. People just kind of right. accepted it. But one of the best lines from this that you picked out too that I loved was, the problem for Tesla is it's 2018. Such things are no longer tolerated by people who buy $15,000 Hyundais. So much less the people that are spending $80,000 on these Tesla cars. You know, people who buy much cheaper cars when they're brand new. Yeah, if this is how they were being handed to people, people would lose their minds. I know I would. I bought a certified pre-owned car, and if there had been more than just what was supposed to be wrong with the car because it had been slightly used beforehand, I'd be pretty mad. I'm spending a decent amount of money on this car. It's nowhere near $80,000, but it's still a lot of money. So it's even worse when you buy a brand new car.
Yeah, people are used to these competitive markets giving us superior products, and it looks like this particular market does not have enough competition. And there's a lot of, there's a gap in the market when it comes to these sort of things, and there should be more competition because, we've come to expect more from, stuff like $15,000 Hyundais. So you know, Tesla really needs to get their act together if they want to compete in this market.
Well, yeah, but unfortunately, they have an extremely unfair advantage in this market to begin with, as we've been talking about, because with the subsidies and stuff that he Musk gets for these projects, it necessarily forces other companies out of the market. And then when you're talking about the car industry, you have to deal on top of all that. You have to deal with, you know, he's trying to put these electric cars out there and stuff. But for people who are just trying to make, like, you know, gasoline engines more efficient, they can't even compete because you have to deal with the ridiculous the CAFE standards? Is that what that's what they're called, right? The for all the gas and stuff that were put in place in the 70s that, you know, just keep tighter and tighter every year. They have to make the thing more, you know, everything has to be more efficient and stuff like that. And lighter, you know, they had to make the cars lighter to fit into all these things, which is why people end up getting more hurt in accidents these days, because they have these flimsy little plastic cars when cars used to be giant, huge hunks of steel that if you got into an accident, well, you know what? Chances are you're going to survive. you know, because your car's not going to get crumbled up if it runs into a tree or something like that. So they have to deal with all that type of stuff. And then between the CAFE standards and then all the other insane regulations that the U.S. puts on the automotive market, you know, there's tons of cars that are out there in the world that aren't even allowed here. You know, there's different variations of Volkswagens I know of that have, like, in, you know, they aren't electric, but they get in, you know, or they're partial, or like they're the hybrid cars that get like insane, like 70 miles to a gallon type of stuff.
Deals
that aren't allowed to be sold here. You know, and there that happens with a lot of the different companies too. And it all comes down to, just like everything else with government, favoritism. And who the rules are set up for and who the regulations are made to benefit and who they're made to punish, you know, and what hurdles they put in front of people's way, you know, whether it be additional licensure you have to pay for, or, you know, more money just to get past regulations and stuff like that. So, yeah, it makes it extremely hard for anybody to be in this market. And that's why there is that gap in the market right now, I think, is because, Musk and his team is being allowed to get away with putting out subpar automobiles, while other people aren't even allowed to bring their cars to market.
Yeah, rules and regulations and subsidies, they act as barriers to entry, which tilt the playing field in the favor of these big players who a lot of times are supported by government, yet still can lose money. And they just probably get bailed out a lot of times if they lose too much money. We've seen that a lot with the big banks where, you know, they get so much, you know, help from the government, yet they still fail, and then they just get bailed out. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, that you would think that has to be the case at this point. With, like, you know, the graph they show at the top of this article with how much money they've lost every year, you know, you would think at this point there's no possible way they could be surviving without being bailed out by the government in some way, shape, or form, you know. And as this article also points out, you know, even if this car was, you know, forget about the fact that this is an $80,000 Tesla. If this was like a $15,000 economy car right now, you know, if this happened in this day and age, the public, it would be a public relations nightmare, and it would most likely be the end of the car itself. Like, you know, like kind of like how the Pinto, when people figured out what a piece of garbage that was and they stopped getting it, you know, that type of thing, it'd be the end of the car, you know, or more possibly even the brand, you know. Like, it would, you know, because it would just be like, oh, these people can't even put out that, you know, they can't mass produce this correctly, then, you know, what else is going wrong? Because that's another thing that that Peters points out in the article. It's like, you know, this may seem insignificant, like some of these problems, but if this company that is charging $80,000 for this vehicle can't even get the trim lined up on the doors, like that simple of a project, what else are they getting wrong that you can't visibly see? You know, like,
right.
So it's crazy that that this is allowed to occur. But, you know, it's not just the government that's obviously bailing him out in some way, but it's the as Eric Peters mentions in the article, it's the automotive industry as a whole. like the journalist and stuff, people like him that are supposed to be giving like objective, you know, opinions on cars and stuff like that, and like trying to help people, you know, make decisions, like big decisions like this, like what car to buy. They keep giving him a pass over and over and over again, and it's unless you read people like Eric Peters, you probably don't hear the horror stories about Tesla. You probably get the mainstream news articles that, oh, he's this wunderkind, and, you know, he's doing great things for the world, and look what this, you know, here's a free market capitalist who's actually doing great things. It's like, no,
yeah,
no, he's not really a free market capitalist.
Yeah, they almost fooled me with that one when it came to SpaceX.
Yeah, you know, I was, you know, I said that earlier. I was the same way, you know, when I first came across him, I was like, oh, this is great. And then you look into it a little deeper, it's like, oh, man, they just basically stripped NASA and now named it SpaceX.
yeah, we're still paying for it. It's just a different name.
Yeah, so, but, you know, that's the thing. It's like, you know, we're paying for it, and most people don't even realize it. Because the stories are just not getting out there, you know. They're in this article, he was talking specifically about, you know, the video attached was about the $80,000 Model S, I think it is. But that, you know, that's just their one car, and most of their cars they don't necessarily mass produce. That's the other thing. You would think that these are like more essentially handcrafted because they're not mass produced. Like the newest one that's supposed to be coming out, their newest car that's supposed to be coming out is supposed to be their first mass produced car. But if they can't get it right now, I'm really scared to see what comes off of that production line.
Exactly.
You know? So it's like, yeah, man. I mean, how much money is going to be dumped in this before, you know, it's going to become like obvious to more people. I mean, hopefully it will, but it's it's not looking good for Mr. Musk, at least when you know, peer behind the curtain. So like I said, I don't know, I hope more people figure it out, because I hate seeing people slather all over this guy. He is not a saint. He is
I just hope we get electric cars some way.
Well, yeah, I'm not, you know, the idea of electric cars is great. You know, I love to see them. And, you know, like Shane and I were saying, if you can, you know, if it's an actual market competition for it, then, you know, have at it, man. You know, loosen, you know, instead of, you know, trying to come up with more regulations and more regulations and more regulations, if, you know, if government was really in the business of trying to help better people like they claim to be, you know, they would loosen these restrictions and let some of these other cars into the market to begin with, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And let them compete, and then actually force people like Elon Musk that if he wants to continue, that he has to put out a superior product. Because, you know, if people aren't going to buy, it, well, then, you know, you're out of luck, buddy. instead of getting helped out constantly.
Yeah, and in a true free market, we would see not just electric cars competing with gasoline, but we would see, you know, probably more hybrids. And supposedly fuel cell technology has come a long way to the point where it really should be competitive with these other other types of cars. We're just not seeing that on the road yet. And this is 2017. I thought we were going to have flying cars by now.
Well,
what is fuel cell technology? What is that? Do you know? Do you know technically? Because that I've never even really heard.
I know a little bit about it, and it's kind of like the hybrids, but it's the space shuttle actually uses fuel cells, and I think it's more hydrogen based. But they can use gasoline fuel cells as well. I'm not sure how those work, but they've been around for a long time, since like the 80s. I'm pretty sure fuel cell technology has been around since the late 80s, early 90s. And it's probably regulations that have kept it out of the market, probably because it might compete too well with gasoline. Who knows?
That makes sense. Well, I think even the wasn't the diesel engine originally made to like run on vegetable oil, and the dude that designed it was like thrown off a boat and mysteriously died or something like that?
I was not aware of that.
I don't know. I've heard some crazy stories. Quite possible. You know, it's like the guy who created the water engine. Something weird happened to him too. We'll be back after this trip to the market. Burbs.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Are you tired of driving your kids to Gigi Allen's grave only to be unable to find the grave because some dick stole the headstone? Well, there is a solution. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app for Android will give you door-to-grave directions. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app uses advanced GPS protocols to guide you with voices to the exact patch of dust and grass where Gigi took his final dirt nap. Bring the kids. Do some needle drops at the Gigiest place on Earth. Gigi always had a huge underground following, but it's even bigger now that he's literally underground. So it's no surprise that lots of folks today take a pilgrimage to Gigi's grave. But getting there wasn't easy. Until this app. Forget Graceland, forget the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Those are plastic places for old people with jobs. Hell, even CBGB's is gone, and that former hallowed ground is now a yuppie coffee bar. The real rock and roll Mecca is an unmarked patch of grass in Littleton, New Hampshire, and our free app will show you how to get there. Get the Find Gigi Allen's Grave app today. Even if you're not planning to go there soon, the app is fun. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License, and it's from the good people at Beast Lick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, who also brought you Fiend Phone, the Freedom Fiends radio app, BIPCOT, MeowBit, and of course, Truth, Justice, American Way. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is free. Get it today on the Google Play Store or on Amazon. Your family will thank you. And don't forget to rate and review. Worms, eating Gigi Allen's face.
Here we are. We've made it to the end of the show. It's the final segment. And I don't know if we have... Well, I guess it's kind of redemption. We can... we'll discuss... John, you were bringing up something right before we came back on the air that I actually... I think I remember hearing about this, but then I forgot all about it. And I don't know how they got away with this for so long anyway, but you're talking about we were speaking in the last segment about the, you know, lifting laws and regulations. Well, here's one that's well overdue to get lifted, I guess. But what happened in my backyard that I missed, John?
Yes. Yeah, so in New York City, since Prohibition, it has been illegal to dance in any public spaces where, like, food and drink is served. And this was called the Cabaret Law. Now, there was a way around this, of course. You could buy a very expensive license, of which there were only a few. I'm saying maybe like 100 or so within, you know, tens of thousands of bars and clubs in New York. You had to get this special license, and if not, and the cops wanted to come to your establishment, then they could shut it down, they could write people tickets, they could write you tickets. And I've actually been at shows in New York where it's happened before. And this law was actually repealed or taken off the books or whatever you want to call it this week. So now it's technically legal to dance in New York City, even though people have been doing it anyway and just getting in trouble for it, basically.
Well, yeah, because that's, see, I mean, like, when you started to talk about this before, like, I remember it being the Cabaret Law, so, like, I remember studying this at one point, but I always did wonder how people in this day and age got away with that, because there's plenty of bars in New York City that, you know, serve food and, you know, obviously drinks and have dance floors, but I've been in, you know, more of them than I think would actually be able to have those permits. but or those licenses, which of course is the same deal they do with pretty much everything else, like, you know, the taxi medallions. There's only, you know, so many of them that are allowed to be out there, and they can pretty much charge whatever they want to charge for them, because they're like, oh, well, you know, you have to get one of these if you want to be allowed to do this. So you know, who says things don't get better in New York? They finally repealed something.
Yeah, I can imagine they'll put a new law in its place to clarify what they mean and everything like that. I mean, I know I promoted raves for a really long time, and I avoided New York intentionally. I even did stuff in D.C., and it wasn't as bad as New York, the restrictions. And D.C. was pretty bad.
Yeah, I well... I skipped the rave scene for the most part. I think I only went to one, and I don't even think it was fully into the city. It was in Brooklyn, so you know we didn't get bothered that night, which was fine with me. But
didn't Kokesh get arrested in D.C. for dancing?
Yeah, he did. That was like in a park, though. So it was like parks. It was the jurisdiction of the National Park Service. And
yeah, it was at the Jefferson Memorial, yeah. Right?
Yeah, so there were a whole bunch of special stipulations with that. I don't think they have any kind of laws like that on the books in D.C. But they are crazy with they have cops waiting outside of every single club in D.C. And that's the reason why I had to like stop doing stuff there.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're laughing about this, but this like this is the thing, like so many people don't realize, you know, if somebody like one of us says, oh, you know, there's so many laws that nobody knows what they all are, it's like, well, yeah, that's really true, because there are like insane laws like this that are still on the books in places all over the country.
And people still get tickets written for them.
Well, exactly.
It's not like these cops don't, you know.
Well, yeah. Well, most people will say, "Oh, you know, they're not really enforced anymore." And sure, for a large part, they may not be. But it's just the fact that it is on the books that they can use it at any time if they want to, you know. And that's one of, you know, the government enforcers, one of their favorite things to do is find things to tack on people, you know, so they can get more, you know, so they can generate more revenue that way. And, you know, if you're looking to harass somebody for something else and you can't actually, you know, find evidence of it, oh, bust them for one of these stupid laws that most people don't even know are there. And, you know, you can end up yourself in a lot of trouble for what would seem like an everyday activity, you know. But that's government. So thanks.
Thanks, government.
Well, this has been a lot of fun, guys. Thank you for joining me tonight. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And for more of us, go to freedombeans.com.